Everybody went crazy. But you know, the song he just sang said the cross made the difference. If we had a mascot, it's going to be the cross of Christ. Amen. If we had a point of reference, it's going to be the cross of Christ. So get up on your feet, church, and go ahead and praise the Lord. Amen. If you didn't know, this was a Pentecostal church. Amen. And we thank God for the cross. Amen. I thank God. I'm going to tell you why I thank God. Because I was one that tried everything. I tried everything that man made. I tried the psychological approach. I tried man's best affirmations approach. I tried putting money at it. Amen. I tried getting with the right people. I thought maybe that would help. But the only one thing did it. Amen. And it was the cross. Hallelujah. It was the cross of Jesus Christ. And we thank you today, Lord. Hallelujah. And while you're on your feet, we're going to pray. Father, we just thank you today for your presence that's been clearly made known. Hallelujah. And Father, we thank you, and we don't take it lightly. We don't prostitute your anointing. But Father, we welcome your anointing. And Father, as we opened up in the back room and asked you to take charge, we thank you. And we need even more charge today. Take these feeble lips, Lord, and cause a vibration that'll help the ear, Lord. Those needs that are present in this room, Lord, let it be known that Jesus Christ and the cross will make the way and make the difference. Help us in this room today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Hallelujah. We're going to read together Proverbs 25 and 25. If I did have a title to this message, it would be Thank God for the Embassy. Amen. Thank God for the Embassy. And you don't have to stand on your feet, but I will ask you to read this with me. If you don't have it, give me a grunt. Amen. Sounds like we all got it. Proverbs 25 and 25 says, as cold, let's start together on count of three. One, two, three. As cold water to the thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Amen. I read this scripture the other day, and my mind went back to years ago when I was locked up in a penitentiary in actually Pickway Correctional Institution. And I remember the irony of the whole thing, wanting to hear some good news, namely a release date. But I thought, boy, how good it would be to hear some good news on these ears right now. And then I thought how awesome it is that a writer thousands of years ago would have a glimpse of what this gospel of Jesus Christ was going to do for people's souls. Amen. This was thousands of years ago. And this man had enough insight to say how good it is for good news to fall on the ears of somebody, how it quenches the thirst. Amen. Anybody out there had your thirst quenched because of the cross? Amen. Has anybody out there had a taste of this? Amen. Has anybody seen what the good news can do for your life? Well, I'm here to tell you it's real. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. We're going to start a little journey. Chapter 1, and while you're flipping, I'm going to give you a little history. The Apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Corinthians, had a couple things going on, a couple struggles. He had just came from doing ministry in Athens, and in Athens as a minister, I don't know if any of you don't have to be in a pulpit to be a minister of the gospel, first of all, amen. We all got ministry right there at your house, right there at the grocery store. How many of you got jobs in the marketplace? Amen. How many of you got coworkers that are unsaved? Amen. Well, when you're out there and you see and you sense the depravity, amen, you sense that somebody needs the same touch that I got. Certain things happen on the inside of a man or woman of God, and so it was with Paul. And Paul had tried a more of an intellectual approach in Athens. He tried to win these people, these beautiful people, by going, maybe talking their language. How many of you know that's what they do today? How many of you know today we've got more psychology infiltrated in the church? Well, let's, maybe we can talk, maybe we can look like them. Maybe we could just get as hip-hopped out or as grungy rocked out. Let's do something, and the motive is right. The motive is we want to see this heart change. So I take my hat off for that. But the problem was Paul had very little success in Athens. And I like to believe on his way to Corinth. Give you a little history on Corinth. Corinth at this time was the Las Vegas or the cesspool of sin. And the people always say Las Vegas of sin, but you know, I know a bunch of places worse than Las Vegas. Amen. But it was the Las Vegas of sin. It was the place where they were sacrificing people in the temple. The place where they were actually taking little girls and just totally destroying them, ripping them apart. And these people in this culture thought that this was okay. How would you feel as a man of God just leaving a place where you had very little success and you tried to maybe mix this gospel together and now you're coming into a place that's far worse, the worst statistics you can possibly imagine? What are you going to preach, man of God? What are you going to do? Well, I'm here to tell you, Paul got an epiphany from the Holy Ghost, and we're going to take a look at it. Paul also had an issue with his own church. How many of you know Paul founded these churches? Amen? And you're going to see in these scriptures we're going to read, Paul had the burden to fix things. And the Lord gave me this to share with you as we was driving in to church today. I just left a couple meetings at Verizon Wireless, which is considered, I guess, one of a very successful company. And they had all the managers, hand-picked ones, thank the Lord, meet. And they had us meet with some people that are supposed to be the top Wall Street thinkers that know how to fix these numbers. And the Lord showed me something. It's no different than what Paul had, what preachers face, what a pastor faces. We're looking at our numbers at Verizon, and there's all kind of what we call metrics. Not only do you got to sell a phone, you got to get accessories on it, you got to get the right price, you want to try to get data, you want to balance all this stuff together. And when your numbers are off, how many of you ever heard the term numbers don't lie? They tell you fix it. And people that can fix a number are considered slicker or more skillful in their art than a guy that can't fix the number. How many of you know preachers today in this world we live in are looking at the same statistical information? Sin is at a record high in the body of Christ. You know, how do you think Paul, he maybe didn't see a take ratio, but you know, he knew there was a sin ratio. Amen. And how many of you know over 50% of the church has fallen prey of divorce? How many of you know suicide is as high outside the church as it is inside of the church? What message are you going to preach, man of God? Where are you going to go? Amen. What are you going to give these people? You've got an alarming sinful condition outside of the church, and your church on the inside is just as messed up. Man of God, what are you going to preach? What are you going to tell these people? Let's take a look. Let's start in chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, verse 10. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." I want to stop right there. For so many years, I was always taught that being in unity meant we just tolerated each other. In other words, let's all sit together and sing kumbaya, kumbaya. But then when you go to your prospective churches, one's preaching the gospel, one's preaching psychology, one's preaching works. Amen. That's not unity, church. Amen. And Paul's going to address it. God said, fix the number. Okay. Fix the statistic, man of God. Fix what's going on inside of your church. What's Paul going to do? Amen. What's Paul going to do? He said, first of all, we got to unite this thing. There's too many messages. There's too many people saying one thing and another person saying another thing. I happen to know how many of you flip channels when you go home. It grits your nerves. One guy's telling you if you just put this little piece of food on your mouth, all your sins will be forgiven and your children are coming home. Your house is getting paid off. Every now and then, somebody will tell you to place your faith where it needs to go. But how many of you know God's changing that thing today? Amen. God's raising up some people. Amen. God's raising up a network. Hallelujah. But he says, man of God, fix your number. Fix the number. What's going to happen? What are we going to do? Hallelujah. Verse 11. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, that ye which are of the household of Cleo, that there are contentions among you. Now, here's the thing about contentions. Whenever the proper message is taken out of a church, whenever the proper message is taken out of a body or of a group corporately, the first thing that happens is contentions. Man, I'm getting ahead of myself. You want to fix the problem, preach the gospel. Amen. You want to fix the problem, lift up the cross of Christ. Hallelujah. And that's where he's going to take us. Hallelujah. But there's contentions. If I were to take you to James, you know what James said about it? James said that when there's strife and contentions, there's every evil work. Satan will love. There's somebody who needs to hear this today. There's somebody sitting in the sound of my voice, or maybe you're listening by audio CD, and you're opening the door for contentions in your life with your family right now. And I'm here to tell you, you better stop it and knock it off, because you think it's just going to do a little bit. No, you may open the door for every evil work. Hallelujah. You open the door for every demon. You think, oh, I can manage this one. I might get a little angry, and I'll set that cool tonight when we go to sleep. No, you won't. Because you're going to open the door to every evil work. And that's what Satan was trying to do at the church of Corinth. He opened the door to contentions. And how did he do it? He changed the message. Amen. He changed the angle. He changed the focus and put people focusing on different things. Verse 12. Now this I say, that every one of you says, I am of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Christ. Well, we've got every denomination under the sun. I'm a Baptist. I'm a apostolic. I am a whatever. I'm a brother this, and I'm a brother that, and I'm a brother that. But let me tell you, is Christ divided? No. Christ is one thing. Hey, man, he's going to point you to what he did and who he is and what he did. Amen. Hallelujah. Is Christ divided? The second thing that happens to a church or a body or a household or a family, When the proper message is taken out of your household, if it's taken out of your church, contentions amongst and now divisions pop up. Hallelujah. Verse 12. Verse 13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in my name? Let's go on to verse 14. I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius. Boy, those are some good names, ain't they? Praise God. But let's look at the mind of this man of God. How many of you know the church has no business focusing on passing out bottles of water? I didn't say nothing was wrong with passing out bottles of water. In fact, the next outreach I do, I say I'll probably have a ton of water. But you know, my focus isn't if I can't get the water to you, then something's going to happen. Let me tell you something. If I could get this gospel to you, amen. The focus we've had, I've said in services where it's all, if I could just cut these people's grass, then maybe they'll think that I'm a nice guy and through osmosis they'll migrate into my church. Brother, somebody needs to hear that they're lost, that they're going to hell, and that Jesus Christ is your only answer. Amen. And Paul said, I'm not getting caught up in it. I'm glad I didn't. Is Paul against baptism? Heavens no. He can't be against baptism because he did baptize, but his focus was never baptism. It was getting that gospel out. Amen. So he's leaving a place where he had little success, and being a man of God, you know he want a soul saved. And being a person of God and a man or woman of God, you know you want to see your neighbor saved. You know you want to see your family member saved. You know you want to see your husband saved. Amen. How do you do it? Stick to the gospel. Hallelujah. Stick to the gospel. Verse 14, I thank God that I baptized none of you except those two good names. Verse 15, lest any should say that I baptized in mine own name. Verse 16, and I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I have not whether I baptize any other. But verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Man or woman of God, God sent you in this world to do one thing, to preach that gospel. Amen. God sent you in the person sitting beside you at work, the person that you ran into at the grocery store. There was one reason. Yeah, it might be a good idea to go ahead and buy them a pack of meat if they need it. That's probably a great idea. But let me tell you something. Even if you couldn't get them the meat, if you tell them about their sins condition, amen. If you tell them that there's only one way, amen. If you tell them that you're praying for them and that only the only solution that God has ever invented was Christ and what he did on Calvary, then they're going to have it. Amen. Then they're going to do it. And he's telling you, let's focus on one thing. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. Amen. You can go to school to get theology. Brother and sister, let me tell you something. I went on the streets of Columbus, Ohio just a couple months ago, and I have no college education. Amen. Although college education is great. I've got 8 months until I get one. Amen. But let me tell you something. When the guy came back crying, it wasn't because my words were spliced with intellect. It was because he heard something that said, my heart is not right. Amen. And I know I need a Savior. And he came back and said, cried and said, pray for me. Amen. That's the answer that we need. Hallelujah. It's time to give up on these intellectual ideas. What can we do to get more people? Let's fix the number. And you know, when they pressured me in that meeting, fix your number, Mahari. Oh, my God. It got me. Thank God it's not a sin to do it in the natural realm. Because I got all kinds of things in place, man. I got spreadsheets. I got people emailing me at night. I got texting them 6 times a day. I'm riding them like a cheap suit, believe me. But you know, if we ride our people that way, it won't work. Amen. You could try to get righteous by putting more rules down. Women got to do this. Men got to do this. Show up for every service. But let me tell you, if your faith is in the service showing up, you ain't going to make it. Amen. Your faith has got to be lodged in Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary. There's nothing else. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Verse 15. For the preaching of the cross is to them who perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved it is the power. He said, what is the power? He said, it is the power. Amen. Sometimes we put our confidence, we put our hope in so many other things. Why? Because sometimes there's a little despair, there's desperation. How do you think he felt leaving Athens? Said, I'm tired, only a few got saved. That's not the anointing that was on that man's life. This is the Moses of the New Testament. You know there was things churning in him. Oh, I got to do something. But you know what I like to believe? I like to believe on his trip from over there to over here, I think the Holy Ghost got a hold of him and said, Paul, I know what you was trying to do. I forgive you. Stick to the gospel. Amen. Stick to what Jesus Christ did. Amen. And he changed his message. Amen. And it fixed his church. It fixed his church. You want to fix the drug addiction going on in your life? Go back to the cross. Amen. You want to fix the person that's cheating on you? Pray for him and put him at the cross. Amen. You want to fix the financial dilemma in your life? Go back to the cross. And if you've got a church and you hear me, and you want to stop the sin problem in your church, preach the cross, preacher. If you want to fix the problem why tithes and offerings fell off, preach the cross. Hallelujah. That's how you fix the number. Fix the number, man of God. He fixed it too. Amen. Paul went to the root. Paul had enough insight that if things are going haywire in my church, the message is the problem. Something's wrong if I tweak things. And you know, this is the same concept of what fuels Wall Street. You know, in Wall Street, people will give money to stock if it looks like they've got the right person in charge. Oh, that guy knows what he's doing. I'm going to put more money over there. They've got Tim Bushwell. He knows what he's doing, by God. And then everybody puts money in there. It's so much a fact that's why Enron cheated to make a number look good. They had to do something. That's the pressure people have. And you know, it's a shame that we in the body of Christ are so desperate for numbers that we'll use Wall Street to get the number right. Shame on us. Amen. Shame on us. If you don't want to come to Christ, if you don't want to let your sins be washed, hallelujah, in the blood, if you don't want to acknowledge that you can't make it on your own, you know what? God will let you go to hell. He'll do it. But I'm here to tell you, that's not his attitude in this book. He said, if any man, hallelujah, if any man will knock on my door, he said, I'll answer, hallelujah. He said, if any man will cry out, he'll come, amen. God is crying for you to come back. God is crying. He said, I beseech you. I thank God that Paul used that in this text. He's begging you, man. He's saying, look, I know the problem. And see, here's what's good about this. It's a little tweak. It's a little tweak. And you know, at my numbers at my store, I did a little tweak and I got a lift too. Praise God, because I felt like my job was in jeopardy too. But I did a little tweak and things shot up. And you know what? The body of Christ just needs to do a little tweak. Go back to the fundamentals, amen. Go back to the gospel. It fixes the contention. It fixes the division. It fixes, in the same book, he got on people that was incest going on. But he started out addressing the message. That's amazing. It's good stuff. Amen. Let's keep going. He said in verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. You know, I love that, because sometimes we as feeble men on this earth, we can erect some big tower, some big corporation, some big church, some big, look like it's a successfully running family. And you can begin to have this air, I got it together, I'm wise. But God's wisdom destroys man's wisdom. Why do you think people don't like the cross? Because it tells man, I don't need you. I want you, but I don't need you. I don't need what you can throw into this message. It doesn't do it any good. Actually, it's counterproductive. Amen. And he destroys man's wisdom. Amen. It destroys it. I remember going out on streets and me and Brother Emerson, we would literally be spitting on people sometimes. It was so ineloquent. Knocking on people's doors. It's just like, what are you doing here? You know, we love you. Really? You don't even know me. You know, it's not wise. It doesn't make sense to man. It has no, it boggles the human intellect. But let me tell you, it's what God uses to save the world. Amen. It's the only thing. Hallelujah. And he said, verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of the world? Verse 21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. I want to wake up some preachers in this audience today. That's my whole goal today. Amen. I want to tell you something. The very thing that separates, that man exalts himself in, that makes him feel good, that gives him that pat on his own back, is the very thing that separates you from God. That's what that verse said. So when he had to devise a way to get man, he had to go outside. He had to. You may say, why would he want to pick something that basically says he doesn't need me? He had no choice. He had no choice. Man's pride is so deep. Man's born out of, we got my baby Elijah. God, thank you for him. He hit the day 18, he was hitting people. Amen. I didn't put that in him. He came out the womb with it. Man has pride entangled around his very being. God had to construct a way that smacks him at his own wisdom. And it's the cross of Christ. Amen. It's this very gospel of Jesus Christ. For the Jews, verse 22, require a sign. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. You know, that's the same way with us church folk. Some of us require works. Some of us require spooky. You ever seen people that wasn't spooky enough, they just wasn't feeling you? They had to, I thank God for the cross because it's straight down the middle. Amen. How many knew what we felt in this room today was clearly not, it was no mirage. Amen. It was a sincere move of God. That's what the cross will do. But some people need it to be a little bit more spooky. And you know what? Some people need works. Brother, just believe. Some people say, well, that's too simple. There he's smacking us in our wisdom again. The works are going to come. Amen. That's the proof that he showed up. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 21. Nope. Somebody who's smarter than me, tell me where I'm at. Thank you, Lord. See, I know you're listening now. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Amen. For we preach Christ crucified. What makes him want to steal a message? But we preach Christ crucified. Amen. What are you going to do to fix it? We're going to preach Christ crucified. Amen. What are you going to do to change the number? We're going to preach Christ crucified. How are we going to change our households? We're going to preach Christ crucified. How are we going to fill our church up? We're going to preach Christ crucified. Amen. How are we going to fill our hearts up when, if you're lonely today, you need to hear Christ crucified coming across your ears. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. Man, I feel good preaching this message today. Hallelujah. Chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. We're going to start at verse 17. Just a few passages here. I am the preacher that reads a lot of verses. If you don't have it, give me a groan. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Christ, by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Stop right there. Wow, that's a powerful passage. That's one of the first ones I remember just getting saved. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. I don't care how you feel today. I don't care how you think today. I don't care what you're wearing today. If you placed your faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary, I don't care what your mind's telling you. I don't care what your pocketbook's telling you. I don't care what the sinner sitting beside you is telling you. I don't care what a backslidden church is telling you. You are a new creature. Amen. You're a new creation. Amen. Your hands may look old, but your hands are actually new. Amen. And you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. Amen. I've got a clean bill of health, y'all. I've got a clean record. Hallelujah. Amen. When I went before that judge, he had a rap sheet. But you know what? When I go before this judge, I got a clean bill of slate. Hallelujah. I got 30 years of healing the sick, and I haven't healed but a couple people. Amen. I've even raised the dead. And guess what? I've never raised nobody, but I'm in Christ. Hallelujah. I got his record. If you want a good record today, I dare you to put your faith in the cross. Amen. If you want a good record, I dare you to place your faith in the cross. Hallelujah. Verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Once you get your faith back in Christ, and I'm not telling you got to stay seated long time. Maybe you're coming from a backslidden state. Maybe you fell away from the fold. I did. Doesn't mean you're over with. You didn't go too far. But once you come back, let me tell you something, you are a minister of reconciliation. Let me tell you something, we're going to read, Father, you're an ambassador. Hallelujah. And there's somebody that needs your experience. There's somebody that needs your story. Amen. You've gone through something nobody else has gone through but you. And God wants to use you. And God is actually using you to be a mender, to bridge the gap. God the Father wasn't happy that the world fell away from him. God the Father's heart was broke. And he said, once again, his wisdom, not ours. He chose the foolishness of preaching. Amen. I like laser light shows. I like to have 20 band people up here. But you know what? It all comes down to the message of the song. Amen. It's the message of the prayer. It's the message of the pulpit. Amen. Because he's going to reconcile people. And it's through a message that doesn't puff them up. It tells them that, you know what? You may not have what it takes, but I love you anyway. And God's reconciling people through your church. You are all of it. Somebody say, I am a minister of reconciliation. He's going to use you to reconcile people. Hallelujah. We're going to go a little bit farther. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. That's the heart of a preacher. Amen. That's the heart of a minister. Be ye reconciled to God. Hallelujah. World, I know you're falling. Come on back. Hallelujah. I know there's been a breach. Hallelujah. Come back. Hallelujah. And where are we sending them to? We're sending them back to the foot of the cross. Hallelujah. And I've got, my mind goes. How many of you have been watching the news? Good news and bad news. They had a little piece of good news. The lady over in Iran that got brought out. I was telling my brother Mike where I was going today, and he even gave me an idea. People get stuck in Mexico all the time, too. But here, in this Iran story, this lady was, I did a little research on the internet. I'm a terrible internet surfer, but I think this is how it went. She was riding her bike and actually was doing work trying to get an article together about life in Iran. Well, they thought she was doing espionage. They thought she was like a spy. So they brought her and they locked her up. But how many of you know if you're stuck in Iran, you're stuck in Mexico, how many know the first thing in your mind is going to be, where's the embassy? Amen. Where is the daggone embassy? Why? Because in Iran, they don't protect freedoms. In Iran, a woman doesn't have the stance that we have. In Iran, there's not innocent until proven guilty. In Iran, you don't get representation because it's in the Constitution. In Iran, they do things a little bit differently. How many of you know in Mexico, it's the same thing? We went on a cruise several years ago. We was down in the Caribbean. And everybody talked about the thing to do, the cool thing to do, is to go jump on a boat and go over to Cuba. They said, oh, man, that's the thing. If you're bold enough, well, why you got to be bold to go to Cuba? They said Cuba's more beautiful than all that stuff down there if you can get in. They said, oh, you get boats to take you in, but here's the problem. There's no representation over there. If somebody snatches you, you can't call on the American freedoms. Amen. How many of you know when you're lost and dying and you're bound by drugs and alcohol? Amen. When your life's in shambles and you're going down, when your kids won't come home. How many of you know you're looking for an embassy? Amen. You're looking for a church that's going to preach this gospel. Amen. Somebody that understands freedoms. Amen. Somebody that understands what Christ did. Somebody that understands what the death, burial, and resurrection could produce in your life. Church, we got to get away from this garbage, amen. Let's preach the gospel, amen. Let's preach the gospel. Ambassadors, get back in your place, hallelujah. Go back when you're at the grocery store. Tell somebody about the cross, amen. When you're at the workplace, tell somebody about the cross. Why? Because it's the only thing that works. It's the only thing that works. Man can concoct many things. Man can invent all kinds of stuff. And it may even sound good. But like Paul found when he tried to mix it, few get saved. But I dare you to put your faith and hone this thing in on Jesus Christ and what he did. Why? Because it's not just getting saved, it's also how you stay saved. Amen. You may be listening under the sound of my voice, maybe even by audio CD, and you may say, brother, I've already placed my faith in Christ, and I'm still bound. You know what happened to you, my friend? You took a detour back into a zone where there was no embassy. You took a detour, maybe trusting in your own self. Maybe you thought you could do it. Maybe you thought, you know what? Now that I've got Christ, I got enough in me to walk this thing. See, that's actually pride. It's not pride where you're saying, oh, I'm the baddest thing out since sliced cheese. But it's very similar because you're telling God, I don't need you. I don't need your process. I don't need your patented way. I've got a new way. Maybe you didn't even know. But you know, one thing with God is just like with our law, ignorance to the law is really no excuse. It won't work. Amen. And God will use your failure to actually drive you to Him. His grace has been with you is why you're not dead. Somebody needs to hear that. His grace that's with you is why you're still thinking about Him. His grace that is with you has been the thing that's kept you, man or woman of God. And I'm here to draw you back to the cross. Amen. You can always come back. Hallelujah. You can always come back. Everybody stand on your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Michelle, you could give us something to praise the Lord to. We just want to thank God today because He didn't leave us down here. You know, it's kind of funny. I used as an example where I worked because I'm not in the best graces at my job. That's probably not hard to believe. But I was mad because a location where they put me, I felt it was a setup for disaster, a setup for failure. Didn't have quite all the privileges somebody else had at another location. And you know in sales there's no excuses. You could tell them the truth and it's an excuse. Just fix it. And the sad thing about it is, even though I felt that it was not fair, God fixed it anyway. Amen. God fixed it anyway. And I'm looking at that and saying, if He can fix that, how much more can He fix your situation? Sometimes we don't feel that our scenario is the best. Oh, that brother over there, that sister over there is still walking for God because she's born in it. Or I came from the streets, or I came from, you know, my family, we just drink a lot. I had drinks in my hand when I was a kid. There's all kind of reasons of why your scenario probably has an excuse. But I want to let you know something. Your answer is going back to the cross. Your answer is as simple as your failure. Amen. And to simply put it, works didn't get you saved, and your works can't get you out of a salvated state. Amen. If there's a word salvated, you can't not be saved because of something you did. Amen. But you can get back to God because you're gonna give up. Amen. You're going to tell God that you're sorry, and you're going to just admit your failure. Amen. And when God has you admit your failure, it's not to ever humiliate you. And a shame on any preacher that does that to somebody. Because that's not God's motive. God's not in the business of humiliating. He's in the business of lifting people up. I'm a witness. I got some witness. If you're a witness, wave your hand. I know some in here personally. And I'm here to tell you today, it's everybody come down to the front. Amen. Amen. We're just going to let the Holy Spirit take us on up out of here. We had a great time in the Holy Ghost today, and He's not done either. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just kind of around the front. We don't have no form or fashion around here. Thank you, Lord. What we're going to do is we're going to pray. Everybody bow your heads, and everybody prays a little different. But I want to encourage you. When people need a breakthrough, back in the day they had what was called midwives. And I like that analogy because they would help them push through. Now, I'm not talking about some religious pushing, but just your focus, amen. You're staying in the gap with them, amen. You just being there, not giving up on praying until that individual or individuals has got what they need from the Lord. Amen. There's enough grace to go around. Hallelujah. But let's just begin to thank the Lord. Father, we just thank You right now. Hallelujah. We just thank You, Lord. Father, we thank You for grace, Lord. Lord, we thank You for an embassy in this house, Lord. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for the message of the messenger, Lord. Lord, that You've equipped us all to be a messenger, Lord. That the message is easy. Hallelujah. Father, that the breakthroughs are hard, but You're in charge of it, not us. And nothing's too hard for God. And Father, there's needs around this altar, Father. Many were met earlier, and some are going to meet now. And I want you, with your hands lifted up, church, just begin to ask God what you need from him. Amen. Just begin to cry out to him. Hallelujah. Just begin to say, God, save me. Hallelujah. Change this situation. Help that loved one. Hallelujah. Help my financial state. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just begin to cry. He's here. I sense his presence very strong today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you, while we're beginning to break through and pray, if you have special, if you want to rededicate your life, this little opening that's right here, just step forward. And we've got sisters and brothers that's going to pray with you. If anybody wants to rededicate their life, come right here. Amen. Hallelujah. Just keep praying, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We magnify you. We thank you, Jesus. We push through for you, Lord. We love you today, Jesus. If it wasn't for you, Lord, we would be so miserable. Hallelujah. If you have a special need in prayer, you could come right here. It don't have to be dedicating. Just maybe you need a breakthrough in an area. Just come down here. Amen. Amen. That brother right there could pray with you. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, amen. Y'all, let's pray with this sister, y'all. Let's get around her faith. Amen. Let's just support her with your faith. Hallelujah. God's going to do something in her life. This will be a day of remembrance for her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Hallelujah. Is there anyone else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else? Father, we thank you right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just begin to push through with her, y'all. Oh, we thank God. Lord, none of us deserved it. How many of us should have never even made it? He's been so good to us, y'all. He's been so good. Hallelujah. 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 He's been so good, y'all. Hallelujah. Say yarabokushata. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let him touch you, sis. You'll never be the same. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody else? Anybody else that needs a touch from the Lord? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh. Hallelujah. 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 God, there's prayer. There's prayer going on for the saints. Amen. Amen. Let's begin to pray with this sis over here, y'all. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, in delivery rooms, they have family. Amen. It's a family affair in a delivery room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Robert, I want to pray with you, Robert. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Let's continue to pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Is there anybody else? If your legs are getting weary, you can see it. Hallelujah. But we thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Amen. Father, we just thank you right now by the authority in the name of Jesus, Lord, for what you've done in this house, Lord, for what you're doing, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Ghost, Lord, to pick up where weak men can't go, Lord, to do what we fall so short in doing. And, Lord, we need you, not just today, but through the week, Lord. Bless us, Lord. And bless the people in this church, Lord, for coming out, Lord, and opening their heart to the word. And, Lord, just continue to burn this in us, Lord, that you're the ambassador, Father, and you've made us the ambassador. You've given us the ministry of reconciliation, Lord. And you've given us a message of hope and of simplicity, Lord, that changes men's destinies and changes men's hearts. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. You can be seated. Amen. We're going to close up. Thank you, Lord.